Ice cold beer!
Popcorn, peanuts, Cracker Jack.
I know what the big deal about Cracker Jack is. Did you ever go and buy a pack of Cracker Jack thinking you'd get a prize and find no prize in the box?
Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
To the ball game, take me out to the crowd, buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I ever get back. We'll root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. 1, 2, 3 strikes you out at the old ball game.
All right, welcome back to the Bench Jockeys here on 101.5 UMFM. I am Michael Elves, and joined only on the bullpen phone by my pal Chris Suk.
Well, we're missing the other pal today, aren't we?
I know. I don't even know how to do the intro now, just because, you know, I'm so used to saying it one way.
Yeah, it's a little weird, right? You have that kind of cadence, right? And then, you know, from a safe distance and another safe distance, you know, in the bullpen, right? But well, you know, these things you know what? We're living through whatever we're living through, right?
So we are living through it. That is true.
Unfortunately, this Brian, has nothing to do with COVID, right? It's just
Brian's got a power outage in his neck of the woods.
That's what he's told us. I mean, you know, we'll have to
he's,
go with
you
that.
Know what? He's maybe that, or he's busy planning a very extra special edition of the pity party.
Well, I will say that, you know, the interesting thing is, because I wanted to get into it again, but it would be curious because I was going to talk about George Springer a bit, right?
Oh, yeah.
He was actually supposed to be playing today, but he got another injury, and so we could leave that for another week. And maybe, hopefully, by the time Brian's back next week,
George maybe Springer will be in the lineup and on the field. So, yeah,
that would be fantastic.
Because I'm sure he would love to talk about that. But I mean, well, he'd especially love to talk about it if Springer was playing. He'd be less inclined to if it was a re-aggravated oblique. That said, I know one thing that he wanted to talk about and that we didn't get a chance to talk about last week because the announcement came shortly after broadcast time, actually. We do, of course, tape this Thursday night to air on Friday morning, but even still, it came Friday afternoon, I think, was the official announcement from the MLB that they were pulling the All-Star game from Atlanta in reaction to the recent voter suppression laws that have been passed by the Georgia State Senate. I have to admit, I wasn't blindsided by this, but I was certainly surprised that the MLB came down so strongly on this, right? Like, I thought you'd get kind of one of those wishy-washy, we don't like, you know, bad people kind of MLB statements, but that they wouldn't actually like do this, but they just up and moved it.
Yeah, I gotta be honest, it's one of the few times actually MLB did something quickly and decisively.
Yeah, my expectations are always a little low when it comes to the you know, powers that be with the major leagues, and for them, like, this really kind of reminded me of the NBA's All-Star game in Carolina, or pardon me, in Charlotte, I guess, in North Carolina, a few years back when they pulled their game over the anti-trans bills. And, you know, we've always really kind of praised the way the NBA is run in relation to MLB and in comparison, and said, you know, there's a lot of things they could learn from that league, and it seems like they may have done so.
Yeah, you know, I'm curious. We'll never know quite the backstory of how this decision was made, but I actually am surprised about the swiftness of it, and again about how quickly they went with the decision, and they've already made a decision that they now go into Colorado. So they moved very quickly on this, and I mean they made a stand, you know, like for a change, MLB made a stand on this. And, you know, whatever belief you go one way or the other, it's already happened. And this will put some pressure on sort of, I guess, what's going on in Georgia. And, you know, maybe it leads to something, maybe it doesn't. But you know, they decided that this was that important to really make a big difference, because that's a lot of money that they're taking out of Georgia and now moving to Colorado with the All-Star game going to be there, in a couple months.
It did lead to a fascinating thing on Twitter, where there was a hashtag boycott MLB trending amongst like ultra right conservatives, who of course are all in on voter suppression after losing the election and losing the Senate there. It was fascinating to watch, because of course I was watching a lot of like baseball writers that I follow for, you know, we have the At the Bench Jockeys Twitter account, and I pretty much follow all the beat writers and things, and them saying like, you know, like scroll through these people who are saying boycott MLB's timelines and see if they've ever tweeted anything about the baseball, like about MLB right. Before this, right?
Right. In some respects, actually, as weird as this is going to sound, it sounds a little bit warped, but Major League Baseball, by doing this, actually, I think got some more publicity just for the action of it, and actually people who all of a sudden became baseball fans and didn't want to become baseball fans. You know what I mean? Like, I think I would totally agree about that, is that, you know, again, it's, I feel it's a bit of a faux outrage here a bit, and it's just the way it's done a bit, but I mean, whatever, right? I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, they made a decision. It's a big business decision, right? I mean, you know, there's a lot of planning that goes into this. They're going to honor Hank Aaron. I believe they're still going to honor Hank Aaron in Colorado now, but you know, I mean, Atlanta, they have this new stadium. They put a lot of effort into that, and you know, Major League Baseball decided that this was the time to make a stand and to move forward with it. I mean, this is going back a bit, and so people might not remember this, as this is going back into the early 90s, I believe, but NFL also did this. They actually took away the Super Bowl in Arizona because they weren't going to honor the Martin Luther King Day, and a lot of people said after the fact that was a movement that because of the NFL taking away the Super Bowl, is that they finally got that amended in Arizona. So maybe history will repeat itself, and maybe they'll change that law or not. But I mean, it's happened, and I will say that we rail on Major League Baseball, but I mean, you have to give them credit for at least, you know, making this decision and standing firm about it and moving forward.
Right. And as you said, you know, the business implications for making a decision like this, you know, it's big. It's money huge to bring an All-Star game, you know, hundreds, not just in like gate, but in all residual, the kind of, like,
all of that, right? All the residual stuff, like everything that's attached to it. It's not just that game itself. I went to one of those in Kansas City, that's going back a bit, 6-7 years ago or so, but yeah, there's the home run derby, there's the, I believe there's a celebrity game as well, and there's a whole atmosphere sort of, it's basically almost a week kind of celebration of it even before they get there, and it's great, right? It's great for the home team that's doing the game, and you get to stuff the ballots to try and get your all-stars into the game, right, to play at home, and just a lot of the all the businesses around it, and that city gets a lot of revenue for that, right? People flock in for these games, even if it's just an exhibition. And so, yeah, I mean, that's the power of money, right? So that's sort of what they're doing is kind of a protest via business decision.
Right. And I mean, this is the kind of decision making that typically, if you were on the right wing, like a business making this kind of decision is the type of thing you would like fight to protect, right? Like that's kind of a free market right wing ethos. So it is fascinating. Well, it kind of flips
the script a bit, right? Like it's kind of weird. It's sort of who's on what side right now. And again, whatever side you want to be on, but it is, it's a bit weird. Like, I mean, to be honest, it's a private enterprise and they can do whatever they want to, right? Like, I mean, if they choose to change where they have the All-Star game, that's their prerogative, right? You might not agree with it, but that's their prerogative. And so, you know, it's going to be in Colorado now and there'll be 600. I can't wait for the Home Run Derby there.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Right. Think about that. Right. You can get some bombers there who are just going to light it up. And I mean,
yeah, I want to get Yermin Mercedes from the White Sox, who just hit a 485 foot bomb in Chicago to play in Denver. My God.
Yeah, he could hit like 500 plus if he's in 45 in April, right? Like just imagine July, right? When it's, you know, the humidor is going to be rocking there in the Coors Field. And my goodness, that would be fun. I mean, it's just going to be fun, right? Because that's kind of the Home Run Derby. I mean, if you remember back, Judge was one and a couple others where, you know, it's like T-ball, right? So, I mean, back at Coors Field, it's going to be fun again. And, you know, hey, you know what? I mean, you know, we're now where it's, you know, a lot of people keep saying, you know, just stick to sports, but, you know, it's just, everything's kind of blending in together a bit and Major League Baseball has decided this is their decision, you know?
And I mean, I think we've often talked about, you cannot stick to sports, right? Like it's inextricably tied to society.
People forget about this, is that they say, again, it's a bit of history and you have to bring this up to remind people sometimes, but I mean, Muhammad Ali did this in the 60s, you know what I mean? It's not like this has just started the last 5 years and the woke and cancel culture and all this stuff. Like, no, this has been around for generations, you know, in the 68 Olympics, when the black athletes were protesting on the podium there. Like, this has been around for a long time, right? And it's just kind of been building more and more over the years, right? I mean, I think, you know, I mean, the weird thing about this too is it wasn't quite player generated. This seemed like this was a decision that was much, you know, I'm sure the players are not against the move. There's a lot of African American players who are playing in baseball. There's a lot of Latinos who are playing as well. But in general, I think there's just a, you know, if you're kind of on the side of, you don't like voter suppression, it doesn't matter. Sort of every, you know, it's for everyone. Right. And so, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I don't think the players were against, you know, moving it. That's fine. But I think it's just also one of the few times Rob Manfred and the executives got this right, I think, right? Like if you believe that that's not a good law and you want to send a message, they sent a message, right? That's as strong of a message, right? As we're taping this, they're playing a golf tournament in Augusta, Georgia. They didn't cancel that golf tournament, right? The players did not really, you know.
There was no withdrawing from the Masters.
Right. Yeah. No one, let me tell you right now, no one withdrew from the Masters if you were in there, right? And so it's a very, and you know, it's a little bit apples and oranges, but that said is, you know, they could have if they wanted to. They didn't, right? And Major League Baseball did. So, you know, for once, that this is something that they weren't passive about. And I think actually for Major League Baseball, pretty aggressive stance that they did. And, you know, we can, you know, they'll be debating and talking about it all the way up to the All-Star game. And in some respects, if you're a baseball fan, that's a good thing too. They'll be talking about baseball all the way at least to the All-Star game. And it'll be pretty big All-Star game this year, as considering from years previous. Well, last year there wasn't one, but the years that they've had All-Star games, they kind of, you know, they've kind of gone by the wayside a bit. There's not as much hype. There'll be a lot of hype for this one coming up, let me tell you.
Yeah. So what did you think in terms of, because there was discussion about maybe having it in LA because LA didn't get to host it last year, despite that being, you know, what was on the calendar initially, like, right? Like this could have presented the opportunity to kind of
It could have. I think, if I'm not mistaken, the way I read it is LA is next year. And so they didn't want to, they'd already, I guess there's, it's kind of weird, but I guess they didn't want to shift it for some reason. And I'm not too sure exactly sort of, I would agree with you that it kind of made some sense. You can just give it back to LA who had missed it last year, but I guess, you know, they're going to make a bigger deal maybe next year in LA, or I'm not too sure exactly why. In some respects too, if you get down the rabbit hole a little bit about this, is that when Colorado got it, then people were saying, well, Colorado has the same voting laws, which they don't, right? So when they were kind of, they wanted to compare apples to apples, it's not really true, but that Colorado actually has one of the most expansive voting rights laws in America. They have actually like something like, I think last election, they had like over 80% voted, right? So it's the actually opposite of suppression. They actually welcome a lot of people voting. So if they were picking it on that kind of terms a bit more too, if you were looking at the bigger picture, that's maybe why they picked Colorado. A various reason. But I mean, the other thing is too, is also maybe stadiums weren't available, maybe because of COVID. I'm not too sure.
I mean, California, I don't know. They are playing some, like there is limited
capacity
sure. There. It might not be as big as it was. Like, I don't know what Colorado's rates of infection are, but yeah, like, I mean, as I understand it, there's at least some crowd at every stadium right now. And so, right. You know, it wasn't some situation where like LA was under lockdown and they couldn't host it there. And to me, it seemed just like, you know, oh, they didn't do it last year. It's easy to just slide it over to LA as like the makeup and then be like, hey, let's hope that like HR 1, the John Lewis voting rights, passes at the national level, which like supersedes Georgia law, and we can move it back to Atlanta in a year.
Yeah. You know what? And as you were talking about that, I think I'm going to take a quick guess here, just that also just maybe they just wanted to have LA as a standalone next year, as give them the full treatment of the All-Star game and not be a replacement, if you know what I mean a bit. So maybe there's something to that. Like, I mean, this is sort of a free All-Star game, to be honest. Like Colorado, I'm sure just, you know, this is extra, you know, extra for them, right? They didn't bid for it or whatever. And they get an All-Star game because of what happened. So maybe I'm just throwing that out there. I mean, I'm just spitballing a little bit here, but maybe they just wanted to say, now we'll just leave in LA. They get the big, everything, the big hoopla for next year with no taint around it or anything like that.
Of course, it's perfectly timed after they get rid of like their one true All-Star, right?
Exactly. Oh my goodness. Yeah, but you know what? I mean, you know, we tip our caps a lot of times to different stuff. I'll tip my cap to Major League Baseball in regards to this decision.
Yeah. One other thing before we move on from this All-Star thing is the MLB boycott Twitter trending. I mean, it's not going very well for those people. But what I did find fascinating was, you know, the people who clearly had never like paid any attention to baseball before and were like knee jerk using this, you know, thing to say, oh, I'm never going to like buy a baseball card or wear a jersey again or whatever. But people discovering things that are actually things we've railed against, like, you know, using public money for stadiums and these own like the like antitrust exemption that the league has and stuff, and people like suddenly realizing that, and it was like, oh, welcome to baseball resistance.
Yeah.
Just for them to be like, oh my god, did you know this? It's like, yes, people have been talking about this for like two decades.
Well, you know, again, like I said, I guess,
I'm sorry this is why you came to the party, but like, you know, thank you.
I guess that goes to the adage sometimes, you know, bad publicity is still better than no publicity, right? So I guess people are just finding out about baseball right now in 2021.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's been some injuries. I mean, the biggest is, you know, Fernando Tatis injured early in the season. And
yes,
it's kind of thrown that Padres, like the hopes for the Padres in a bit of a
bind. You know, and if people haven't seen it, they should check it out on YouTube or MLB or a thousand other different places in social media. But it was just a weird injury, right? He's just swinging at a pitch. And he just goes down in a heap, right? Have you seen that, Michael?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just, and it was a bit scary because he's down for a little bit, right? Like, it's not like he just popped right up.
No.
And so the interesting thing is they're saying it's not severe. He's on the IL, but, you know, he just signed a $600 billion contract, right?
Oh, so is that what it was? Okay.
It was something like that. I can't quite remember. I'm just paraphrasing there. But you're gonna be cautious, obviously, right? This is obviously the franchise here of the Padres. But, yeah, you never want to see young stars like that go out.
Yeah, no. So shoulder subluxation is what they're saying. Apparently
subluxation, is that what it's called?
Subluxation. Apparently chosen to forgo surgery for now, but he's apparently like had shoulder issues for a few weeks, and then it kind of like that swing exacerbated things. Yeah. Or, you know, like, I don't want to say it popped it, but it just certainly became too painful for him to bear, and so then, yeah, he goes to the IL. But, you know, this is, again, like this is like Springer oblique territory here. This is the kind of thing, because especially with your shoulder and your swing, it could be recurrent or like something that he deals with and saps him of his power throughout the season if it's not addressed properly.
Yeah, totally. Right. And so the Padres are going to do due diligence, just like the Jays are with Springer, right? You're not going to try and rush him back anytime too soon. And yeah, I mean, again, like it just... it's tough because it's the start of year, and especially if you were in fantasy and you might have been your number one pick somewhere if you weren't in a redraft, or you were in a redraft.
If you're in a redraft, he would have been like him or Ronald Acuna, like one of the top
Trout, one of the top two or three, sure, for sure.
Yeah. So
hopefully not too severe.
Hopefully not too severe. As it stands, San Diego is 4-3, so they're only a game behind the Dodgers at 5-2. And of course they do get to feast on the rest of the terrible NL West. So, you know, they can be kind of middling.
Yeah. You can tread water a bit, and you can still do pretty well in that division. Yeah.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So in the world of like surprising things, did you expect Baltimore to be at the top of the AL East after a week?
Oh, this is why the first week of baseball is so glorious, right?
I love this.
First of all, because like the Dodgers, that 118 is gone, right? Because they're already two losses in, and I feel that they're already past the apex of getting that 118. And then they might run it off, who knows? But the Baltimore especially, right? Like, I mean, no one expected this. I believe the odds were, it was something astronomical. It was like 10,000 to 1 just to win the division. Forget about the World Series. It was something like 10,000 to 1. For the division to win, right? It just tells you how bad. And I think people are projecting them 100 loss, and they still can, right? I mean, that's the beauty of the first
there's
week,
enough
right?
games
I
left.
Mean,
that...
There's the mean, you know, they can regress here back to what they should be doing. But yeah, it's the way. I mean, the upside, I believe Oakland started with 0-6, something like that, right? Like they had a really rough start to their season.
Yeah.
And it doesn't help that their top reliever, much like the Jays, is now out for the next 4 months as well.
Yeah, no, it's certainly like, it is. I mean, obviously we're, you know, 7 or 8 games in, depending on, you know, I mean, there's a few teams that have obviously played a little less thanks to
COVID.
Yes. But
they'll be playing a doubleheader. I read that they'll try to make up some of that time,
but
7-inning doubleheaders.
You know, Baltimore sweeping the Red Sox to like start the season was not something anyone anticipated.
That's the first time the Red Sox have been swept. What was the stat? I read this and I'm gonna get this wrong, but I believe it was the first time the Red Sox were swept by Baltimore forever or something. But there was something about it was gonna forever on that, but I think it was something about the opening day weekend too, right? Like that they'd started like that at home. That was it. It was like at home to be swept. It was years for that. But yeah, I mean, it just, you're not expecting that. And I think that's the beauty of that, of usually the first week. And actually even the first month, we'll talk about that as we go through the month here. I think it's fantastic. You all see guys, well, you know, you might have that on the list of there, of people just doing weird and phenomenal things in the first week or the first month of baseball. And I think that's why it's awesome. Like, because there's so much of a season that, you know, you get the small synopsis of it and you just go, oh my goodness, you extrapolate this out. Well, you know, next week Baltimore could be in a 5-game losing spell, or, you know, for all we know, right?
Right.
But it's great for, I mean, now. Like, if you're an Oriole fan, you got something to cheer for the first time in almost a decade.
Boston lost the first three and then have, you know, won 4 straight. So it's not like, you know, like it can turn on a dime. So it is like very easy for that to kind of be rectified. But yeah, like in terms of like initial, like this first week, you can see some crazy stuff happen. And then you've got, you know, certain people who, like, if you're playing fantasy, like you're seeing like certain names at the top of the leaderboards and you're like, wait, what?
I mean, fantasy is really tough right now because you have to kind of steel yourself. You're in leagues, I'm in leagues, and you have to kind of steel yourself to kind of not overreact a bit. Mm-hmm. Because if you got, you know, people are going to start slower, people are going to start fast, but somewhere they're going to go back into sort of what they're supposed to do, or maybe they don't, right? So you do, you overreach for players, or you drop players early, and that's sort of depending on what kind of leagues you're in. But yeah, it's fascinating the first week, just the craziness going on.
Yeah, like you look at the home run leaders right now, so it's a 4-way tie with 4, but the names on there, I mean, one of them, I think, is perfectly understandable. Nick Castellanos, a lot of people kind of projected him to have a breakout.
That's right. He was going to, and he's playing Cincinnati and good ballpark.
Good ballpark. And on a team that hits versus, you know, when he was with the Tigers.
That one isn't a surprise, no.
And then Ryan McMahon, he plays in Colorado. Yep. So you've got that, like, you know, that great Colorado air. But Tyler Naquin and Byron Buxton.
Right.
Like, those are the other two names with the 4 homers so far. And I mean, it's great for me as a Twins fan. Who's like,
I'd say lap it up because, you know, next week he'll be on the IL.
I was going to say it's short lived, but
no, but this is, you know, I mean, and we talk about your Twinkies a lot, which is great, is that I would love for him to be healthy and to do this, you know, for a full year and see what it can really do, because the potential has been there forever for Byron Buxton. But yeah, this is really shocking this early. I mean, can he consistently stay there on the field? Let's just say 1, and 2, can he keep hitting them? Because also, you know, like they, you know, Target Field, they haven't been there. They, I believe the home opener was today, if I'm not mistaken. So they've been on the road a lot to start their season. So, this is the fun aspect of it. So, Mike, I don't know if you have on your list here, so I don't have it in front of me. Do you have, I don't know who the player was. Do you, the crazy first, I believe it was it the White Sox or the Tigers?
Is it Akil Baddoo?
Yes. Okay.
This is the rookie for the Tigers. Yes. So we're talking about the home run.
That's right. He did 3 crazy things in a row. Like, his first hit was home run.
First swing
home run, right?
Yeah.
And then the next time he played, he hit a grand slam. Right
in the bottom of the 9th, yeah.
Right, and then the third time,
he had a walk off.
Yeah, he had a walk off. It wasn't a home run, but it was a walk off to win the game. Yeah. So it was like it's, Elias was saying, you know, the stat gurus that it's never happened like.
Oh
that,
no,
right?
Like
that, I mean, it's just
those,
I
three
mean,
things. Any, those like three any things rookie general, doing one right? of those three things would be a pretty like.
Right.
Auspicious thing, right? Like there's not a long list for any of those three things as like these are your first hits, but for him to string those together,
yeah, it's just crazy. And that honestly is exactly what baseball, if you're a baseball nut and you just love the game, that's the only sport you can really have that happen, right? You know what I mean? Like it's just a out of kind of nowhere, he just put these three things together. And he kind of was like, he was trying to almost up himself every game, right? I just thought, like, there, to me, that's just like, that's just classic opening week phenom, right? Like, everyone will try and pick him up in fantasy, and then he'll do nothing the rest of the year, right? Or maybe he goes on to hit 50 home runs, who knows?
Well, I know, I took a flyer on Yermin Mercedes after.
Oh, sure.
His first hit, I think he went 3-for-3 in his first game and, seemed to have power. And I mean, to be honest, like, as much as I begrudge them because they're in the same division, the White Sox, I do think, are a talented hitting team. So you want a piece of that, right?
Definitely.
Obviously, no one has Eloy Jimenez because he's out for an extended period of time. But I didn't have stock in some of the bigger names on the White Sox. So I grabbed him as who knows?
Oh, sure. Right. Exactly.
Because today he hits this 485 foot homer, right? He hits a monster homer.
Did they by any chance say what the velocity was for the exit or the exit speed?
Cause I did not see that.
That would be just, I mean, regardless, 485, yeah. 45, it doesn't matter. Right. I mean, that's just a bomb in any ballpark, right?
Like, yeah, no, they headed the measurements. It is, the third longest hit by a White Sox player in the field's history.
Wow.
Joe Borchard had 504 feet. And then Frank Thomas was 495.
Oh wow. Okay, Frank.
So yeah. Even longer than any Tommy hit there. So
the big hurt. Nice.
Yeah.
There you go. Well, that's good company.
That's nice company to be in. Yeah.
That's really good company there. I mean, you know what? It's just, I just love this time of the year. I love the first month because you get all this randomness that's there and you'll get some, you get some middling stuff. Mind you, I'd like to also bring this up because this very recent was just today, as we're taping on Thursday. The Mets won a game today on a hit by pitch against the Marlins. And if you haven't seen it, I would recommend you watch not only the clip of how they win the game, but if you can get to the commentating from the Mets crew. The Mets crew is going nuts.
I'll try to find that and link to it on the Twitter account.
Against the team. Listen to this. They go against the team because basically, I can't remember who was at the plate for the Mets, but he sticks out his elbow into the kind of the pitching zone. And the umpire is about to ring him up, and just about midstream, instead of ringing him up for the third strike, he calls hit by pitch, goes to first, and it was bases loaded, so they win the game. And the Marlins can't
contest that.
You can't. And so what the Mets basically, because there's a bit of a discussion, and they go kind of to the booth and for some reason the umpires, and then they signal, he goes to the plate and it's all over. And then Don Mattingly, the manager for the Marlins, is going irate. But the Mets broadcast is fantastic because basically they're just incredulous about it. And they just say, well, why do we even have replay? Right? Like, I mean, this is the whole point sort of about replay sometimes. It's like, if we're going to do it, like, isn't it the whole point of replay?
It's for these kind of plays.
It's just to get it right. Like, because basically what they were saying is the commentating, because they have about a minute or two while they're kind of sussing it out to kind of finalize that, the game's over. But they're just saying he should be called out. He's into the play of he's purposely has put his elbow into the pitching zone, right? And so
right, that he's attempting umpire, to get hit by pitch. That
exactly. And so umpire should be just calling him out regardless of if it hit. And if you see in the replay, it's goodness, I couldn't tell if he got hit or not. Even it's regardless of the fact he was impeding the play, and he should have been called up. But anyways, the Mets got a crazy walk-off victory, and they're all celebrating. And the best thing about it, the last footage they have from the Mets broadcast, it was kind of on a YouTube clip, is that they're just all running out of the dugout, like, because they know they've stolen a game. Like, they don't just it's kind of like the Sandlot. Hey, we just hit the umpire said home run, great. Let's all just run off before they call us back into the field, right? So they just kind of leave the scene of the crime. But that's what happens, right? I mean, this is baseball, where we always say something that you've never seen before happen again today at Citi Field.
That is the beauty of it. With that, we do have to wrap things up. Just looking at the time here.
And I feel bad because we can't give you any preview of the pity party.
We don't know what's going to be. It'll be good. It'll be rocking. It'll be sad. And it'll be on at one.
And you know what? I'll tell you this. Brian probably has even more time to kind of put together an Uber show. And you know, this is more, actually, it's even more enticing this time without him. We're giving the preview. You just have to just tune in at 1 o'clock and you'll just be wild about what Brian's got at the pity party this week.
Before we go, though, one quick thing. I mean, it's not something we can bring up on the show to talk about, but I do want to recommend Michael Clare's piece on MLB.com about Mark Melanson's side job. He runs a turf installation company and apparently has been, getting tips from opposition groundskeepers in all the different parks as they play. So it's a funny and interesting little story. So I do recommend it. It came about because he wanted to put a putting green in his own backyard. So.
Oh, that's fantastic. See, that's a great story. Yeah, link that up too. That would be great. I want to read that.
I'll throw that one out on the Bench Jockeys. Folks can follow along. And in the meantime,
hey, guess what? They're playing ball!
Strike three, you're out!